Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all pundit show with Warren Hardy, Trey Abney, and Brian Wachter. It's all coming up next on an all new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved. And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel here as we come to you from the old Supreme Court in the Capitol in Carson City. Warren Hardy is here, principal with the Hardy Consulting Group, and now in a strategic partnership with Danny Thompson, formerly of the AFL-CIO, and Gay Tuzlow. We shall talk about this in a moment. Trey Abney is managing partner for Abney Talking Group, and Brian Wachter is senior vice president of the Retail Association of Nevada. And if you're here any more often, you'll have your own parking space. So that's the good news.
There's a punch card, I think, too.
So Warren, why the strategic partnership with, as they would say, the other side?
Well, you know, Danny and I have been sort of on the opposite sides of things for a lot of years, but we've been very, very good friends for a long time. And Gil's somebody I've worked with for years. And, you know, my business has gotten bigger and their business has gotten bigger, and we just seem to make sense to do a strategic partnership. And, you know, I had been a Republican senator, and Danny certainly represented Democratic interests. So we thought to the extent we could bring those talents and abilities together to benefit our clients, we thought it made sense.
And also, a lot of Republican clients are out there looking at the makeup of the legislature and going, we need some help on the Democratic side.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think they feel like they need help on the Democratic side, which they certainly do. But at the same time, they want somebody that's sort of grounded in their base core philosophy. So we see this happen all the time when one party takes it over completely. Sort of saw it in 2015, where Democratic leaning clients wanted a Republican influence, but also wanted to sort of stay home with that base. So it's working out well.
Trey, Jim Wheeler was on the program earlier this week, the Assembly Minority Leader, and he was complaining that he's getting lots of talk from the leadership in both houses, but no real conversations.
Well, welcome to the super minority, right? I mean, really all they can do is hold their folks together, but I mean, they can't override a veto, they can't stop any kind of tax or fee increases. And so, I mean, the key is to be as friendly and able to work with people as possible, and know that if you put forward what the leadership sees as reasonable bills, put forward by reasonable people, then, you know, I think they can move forward on some of that stuff. But some of the big partisan stuff, whether it's guns, whether it's collective bargaining, minimum wage, et cetera, they're really not going to have a say over. And that's, I mean, that's how it goes, right?
And what areas do you think that there is a possibility of the Assembly Republicans working with the Assembly Democrats in a nonpartisan?
Well, I think there's some education issues that can always, you know, they can always figure that out. I think human trafficking is an issue that's popping up. I think some health and human services issues. Healthcare is a big deal to everybody's constituency, no matter what party you're from. So I think they'll be able to, and you have to remember the vast majority of bills that pass and eventually get sent over to this building to the governor are almost unanimous nonpartisan bills, right? So it'll be the few big headline grabbing issues that everybody will read about, but most of the bills, you know, put through unanimously.
And you know, Trey raises an interesting point, which is that an awful lot of bills do go through, you know, quietly. They're not the headline grabbing, and that's the majority of what gets done in the legislature, correct?
That's the work of the legislature. That's the stuff that has to get done. It's the mechanics. It's making sure that government is running how it's supposed to, that they're exercising their oversight responsibilities where they have to. You know, the other part about it is, too, is we don't have actually a lot of language for a lot of bills. Earlier this week, they dropped, I think, about another 200, but we're only at maybe about a quarter of the way where we normally are. So to kind of look at, you know, where can people work together and what are those issues is really even, I think, too early at this point to kind of speculate.
Jim Wheeler have to work with James Settlemyer to have any effect at all? Because at least Settlemyer is not dealing with a supermajority in his house.
Well, there's absolutely no question about it. The Republicans need to be as unified as they've ever been. Not unlike the Democrats were in 2015. And if you look at 2015, I think the Republicans were more aggressive because they really knew they had one bite of the apple, because it wasn't likely the Assembly was going to stay in the Republican hands. And the Democrats did a great job of rallying around that. You know, in defense of the Democrats, I don't think, I mean, they've pretty much signaled what their priorities are and have not really held that secret. I mean, a lot of discussion about the background check, but that was an issue they've been talking about since before the election. If we get both houses of the majority, we're going to implement that. And they did, and they didn't stray too far from what the public voted for, except to change the people, you know, the institution that does the checks. So, you know, I think I haven't seen anything, and I've only been here 30 years, I haven't seen anything that indicates the Democrats are not going to be willing to work with the Republicans. And you know, there's going to be the partisan bantering, as there always is, but all in all, I thought the process on the gun background check was fair. They didn't limit testimony. I mean, they did, but you have to at some level. But they had an eight-hour hearing on it, so I can't, you know, it wasn't really done in the you know, the back room. So we'll see what happens going forward, but I think the Democrats have been pretty open about what their priorities are, and I don't look for them to be really aggressive. I think we're going to see collective bargaining for state employees. Also signaled that. They've been signaling that for 25 years or 30 years. Or probably more than that, but as long as I've been around. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fairly typical session when one house controls.
I mean, I hate saying this, but Warren is absolutely right on this. And I mean, there are no secrets here, and they're going to get it done. I mean, and there are going to be some chickens that come home to roost from 2015, right? The Republicans did a lot of things that the Democrats are ready to undo.
Yeah, two of the three bills that I passed in 15 are going to get
it. Yeah, exactly. So, but it doesn't have to be vitriolic, and there will be some partisan back and forth in press conferences and calling the other side this and that and the other. But at the end of the day, again, Jim Wheeler and James Settlemyer are gonna work well. They work well with the other side, and they're gonna have to in order to get any of their members' priorities done, and they will.
Okay, so Governor Sisolak at this point, what is the role that he actually plays here? I mean, does he just go along with the Democrats and pass, you know, whatever is their agenda, or do you see him being more statesmanlike, which has happened to several governors over the last decades, and take a more centrist position?
Well, I think we've seen, you know, with the gun background check bill, that the Governor Sisolak has his priorities, and he's going to use the influence he has at the legislature to, you know, get those priorities done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So I think he's playing a very active role. I think it'll be interesting in the next 100 days to see how well that, grows. Do Majority Leader Atkinson and Speaker Frierson, bring the governor in? Is it very much a group kind of setting, or is it the legislature is going to send proposals to the governor and the governor will provide that check on the legislative branch? I think that's what we're waiting to see.
Has the governor come back to the legislature? Because there was a lot of press about the fact that he was over there on the first day.
Yeah.
Have we seen more of him, or is it now his staff?
Yeah, so backing up to your original, I chuckled because anybody who worked with the Governor Sisolak on the County Commission knows he's not going to sit back and see what happens. He's something of a political force of nature. It reminds me of Kenny Gwynn, Governor Gwynn, who I served with in terms of his visit. Yeah, he's definitely been back to the legislature. Here's the other thing I'll tell you. I had, as I mentioned, two of the three bills that I worked on in 2015 on behalf of clients are scheduled to be repealed. I asked the governor if he'd sit down with me and talk about options and talk about a couple of things. He spent an hour with me yesterday in his office in Las Vegas. He's, and I found him to be very accommodating, listened carefully, understood the issues, said he agreed with some, said he didn't others. I don't recall, he's probably even more engaged than Kenny Gwynn was. I can't really judge that. I can't really judge that because I was a legislator at the time, but from what I observed, and that's just what he does. Governor Sisolak on the county commission. I mean, I think everybody in the state of Nevada has a cell phone number. He's probably going to change that at some point because he takes calls, he listens, he opens up, and so but he is going to have a strong say and input into what happens. There's no question about that.
And is this the benefit of the number of years that he served on the Board of Regents, the 10 years on the Clark County Commission? He knows government inside and out.
Well, he does, and he knows the local government level. And like I've bumped into the governor several times in the building just over the last couple of weeks, so it wasn't just the first day. And look, we know that Governor Sisolak is not some movement progressive. He's not a left-wing guy. He's a former business owner. I kind of consider him kind of more of an old Nevada Democrat. Really, and he's going to work with Senate Majority Leader Kelvin Atkinson, who is a current business owner. So we're always kind of more optimistic at the beginning of session, and talk to me in June, and it could be a different story. But he wants to. The governor's concerned about the little guy. He will tell you that. He'll tell everybody that. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of Teslas and a lot of these things. But he's concerned about small business owners and employees and making sure everybody gets a fair shake. And I think that's the angle he's taking. That's where he'll go.
You were on the panel with Russell Rowe. You and Maureen were on the panel with Russell Rowe back in November when Russell was saying that he didn't anticipate the kind of tax breaks that Tesla got happening again in this session. From what you've seen so far, are big businesses already moving into the legislature through lobbying to set up new business deals? We've got blockchains that bought 67,000 acres at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Their plans are still in flux. What are we hearing on that front?
Well, I don't think you'll see too many legislative issues on this fact. I think, GoEd is out there, and that's a well-established practice now. So I think it would take the governor through his executive agencies to come down and say, look, I've got a proposal that I think is worth the legislative time. The other part about that is the Tesla deal wasn't written for Tesla. It was written for companies that make that same investment. So there's really no need for legislative action. If another company wants to come in and get a deal like Tesla, that law is already there. And so it's just a matter of, do you have $1 billion to invest, and then we'll hand you a bag of money. And so I think those
we'll
are...
We'll hand you a bag of money. That may be the quote of the day.
there's a lot of issues, I think. I mean, you look at most of the issues that Reno's facing, and I think you can pinpoint a lot of it to a very quick economic development insurgence at one time. And so I don't think you'll see it at the legislature, but we haven't heard any changes at GoEd or that the office is closed, so I think they remain open for business.
I would think so.
If I could just say, I agree with Brian right up to the bag of money part, because I think the legislature, but he's 100% right. I mean, the infrastructure's in place. You go to GoEd, you say, hey, we've got this. But the legislature did a good job back on Tesla and Faraday of setting up a structure that requires performance. Faraday fell through. Well, Faraday didn't get anything out of the state of Nevada. They didn't get penny one. And really, that's a credit to the legislative scheme that was set up by
the legislature. Right, but on the other hand, what it did do was it pushed infrastructure at Apex, which was desperately needed.
Absolutely.
And got that off the ground to open the door for others to come in. So yeah, there was a cost to the state, but it's, I think, a beneficial cost.
And John Lee worked really hard on that, Mayor Lee. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mayor Lee, you know, in his heart of hearts would tell you he didn't really care much about Faraday because all the incentives from the state for the city of North Las Vegas were gone. But what it did do was open that floodgate and address the water issue and the infrastructure issue. And that is going to be, even though Faraday didn't materialize, that is, that whole effort is going to be marked as a great day for North Las Vegas.
Well positioned out there now.
100%.
And the most important thing that Dan Schwartz did in his time in office. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show going here today from the state capitol here in the old Supreme Court. Warren Hardy is here, Trey Abney, and Brian Wachter. So, Brian, I wanted to ask you, you know, just opening things up here, did New York just blow itself a giant hole in its foot with this whole Amazon deal? I'm watching Bill Blasio trying to rescue his potential presidential bid by blaming Amazon when, in fact, it was his city council and a lot of activists who blew this deal up. 25,000 jobs out the window.
Well, you're forgetting the amount of tax breaks, I think, that the people in the city council of New York were having an issue with. I think it was $3.5 billion.
Yeah, but the multiplier down the road was huge.
That's obviously a case that Amazon failed to make to the city council and to the residents, that it was something good. I think it's easy to sometimes look at the bigger picture when you're not, you know, there in the neighborhood. So I can't fault the citizens for New York saying this isn't something that we want in our neighborhood. I think the whole process that Amazon went through in choosing headquarters locations and pitting cities against each other is actually going to be a very bad thing in our long-term strategy. But you can't fault the citizens of New York for not wanting the deal.
Well, but it was a minority of the citizens of New York.
It was enough to cause Amazon to say, you know, this isn't worth it.
I totally agree on that. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a corporation or you have a client that's a corporation that wants to move to New York and you know, put in a lot of jobs but is looking for breaks, would you even bother at this point?
Well, I don't know why a corporation would want to go to New York in the first place. Okay. Or California, or I could name some other states. But I think it's a perfect example of why you have to get your economic development policy and incentives right. You know, we miss out on opportunities because we're not giving away bags of money. You got to perform in order to get those bags.
You're gonna, that's very true.
You're going to get
bags. We make you jump through a few hoops.
You get to keep bags of money. You don't get given bags of money.
Yeah, you're going to get bags of money back. I think that's a perfect example.
Tax credits and transferable tax credits later.
And everything Brian brought up is accurate. I think it was blown a little more out of proportion in the media than what really happened on the ground. But I just think it's an example of why you have to get that policy right. We'll miss out on some because our policy is a little more aggressive, but I think we'll...
We can talk about the reasons we missed out, because Nevada did apply for one of those locations.
Right.
They sent us back a very nice letter telling us what we needed to fix in order to be worthy of such a headquarters. So it's not, from lack of trying.
And Google may be overconfident in terms of what their ability is to attract as well, because they kind of think they're the Manny Machado and the Bryce Harper of, putting it in baseball terms, so they can ask for whatever they want, and apparently that's not true.
Well, and it's not like New York City is an economically depressed area. I mean, they won't miss those jobs too much. I'm more worried about the Northern Virginia location. For those of us that used to live there, and the amount of traffic and congestion in that Crystal City, Pentagon City area where that's going, that's going to be quite the mess, I feel like, when they move all those people in there.
I think, to me, the big headline over the weekend was that Bill Blasio was running for president. Let's take a break. Back with our pundits after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, I had to bang my gavel to get these guys in line here during the break. We're at the old Supreme Court here in the Capitol in Carson City, an all-pundit show with Warren Hardy, Trey Abney, and Brian Wachter. It was interesting to have Assemblywoman Heidi Swank on the program talking about the water in eastern Nevada and how she does not want that water coming to Las Vegas. And that's a call we hear from a lot of Democrats. She was talking about desalination, which is a great idea, but you've got to go through so many steps. First of all, you got to build a desalination plant either off the coast of Mexico or California. Then you've got California to agree, A, to accept the water, B, to decrease their usage of Colorado River water. Is Eastern Nevada not a viable option? Especially when Southern Nevada Water Authority already owns that water. It's not like they have to get it from somebody.
Well, at this point, and I think we talked about this earlier this week too, Sam, at this point, it's not a zero-sum game. There's the ability, I think, under a water plan to be able to continue the economic viability of eastern Nevada, of the northern rural counties, and still provide Las Vegas with the insurance it needs to be able to continue its economic growth. I don't think it's a lose-win situation.
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is we do not want to change our water law. And our water law dictates that the water belongs to the people of the state of Nevada for use where it's needed. Of course, we have to protect Eastern Nevada, Western Nevada, Central Nevada, Northern Nevada, and make sure that they have enough water to be economically viable in perpetuity. But at the same time, if that includes changing our water law so that, Southern Nevada Water Authority could never bring that water south, I think that would be a serious mistake. Our water law is proven, and we need to leave it alone.
And that great environmentalist, Harry Reid, former senator, said that that water should be used on the Las Vegas Strip for flushing toilets and hotels rather than being used to grow alfalfa.
And you know, I always agree with Harry Reid.
I've heard that. Trey?
No, I agree. I mean, I agree with Warren. I think all options should be on the table. I don't think you want to preclude any option. And technology will advance. You have to remember, for several years, Las Vegas was using less water per capita even as they grew. Less water per capita year after year after year. So they're good at utilizing water efficiently. And so I think we can do this. Yes, you can bring probably some more water down from Eastern Nevada and take care of the farmers at the same time.
If you look at our water law and the way it's set up with return flow credits, it costs zero water to flush toilets in the casinos in Las Vegas.
Which is really an amazing statistic, and very true. Okay, that's where we got to leave it, guys. Thank you very much. Interesting times here in Carson City, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Now you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We have our own channel. Just search Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.